Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A very good evening and welcome to Kenilworth Road as the Addicts take on the Hatters. And then ball upfield to Bond. Can't get there though. Oh, he gets the second one and blocked away. He's trying to send Lecco on his way. Can his pace get there? He can. He's gone past his man. Into the penalty area. Can he?
Yes!
Yes, he can! Charlton have the lead! On the seventh minute. Superb run by Jonathan Lecco. After great work in the middle by Conor Gallagher to set up Macaulay Bond. Little ball back to Gallagher and he sent Lecco on his way. And his pace took him past, I think it was Sonny Bradley and Tony Cliff, but certainly Bradley left him for dead. Into the area, edge of the six-yard box, calmly slots him past the keeper, James Shea, and Charlton 1-0 up. It's a low one into the edge of the six-yard box, cleared away by Chris Solly. Lecco trying to get on the end of it, but the header won by Bree. Now back out to Brown. He's going to swing it in again. Now he saw this time in the way, but he drops to and pens up. And they must be offside. He's drilled it home. There's a player standing right in front of Dylan Phillips. He has to be offside. He cannot, certainly he cannot be not interfering with play. He must be in front of him. Dylan Phillips affecting him getting to that ball.
The referee is just pausing for a moment. And they're just going to have a discussion with the linesman. The linesman's not got his flag raised.
Well, unless there was another Charlton player behind that player, he has to be offside. So the only thought is if there was a Charlton player on the line. Given the goal.
Pierce just scrambles it clear. And Perrington shot to Bond. Bond holds up the ball really well again. Backwards to Perrington. Oh. Lovely ball inside to Bradley. Oh. And Bradley misjudges the bounce of the ball. And Luton can bring it away with Shinny. Shinny across to Brown. Brown inside the penalty area. Takes it past Perrington. Scores.
He's saying it's a handball.
Took it past Lockyer, should I say. And it's a great finish in the end. But Charlton be furious. Darren Bradley just didn't read the bounce of the ball. It's a lovely pick out to find Brown. He deflected up in the air. There was the cries of handball perhaps, but the finish past Phillips was good. And Luton make it 2-1.
Ball comes away and that's the final whistle. Charlton have gone down 2-1 here.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview on this evening's show. We'll be looking back at the defeat at Luton and ahead to Saturday's home game with Sheffield Wednesday. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the Charlton Live studio here at the Valley, right opposite me this evening, is Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Fully fit,
yeah.
If he's listening, yeah, and he needs me.
Yeah, stretch those creamy hamstrings in case you needed on Saturday
I'm
morning.
Not very good. But I am fully fit. Yeah. So,
and you bring a bit of experience to the side, which perhaps we're missing at the moment.
Very true. That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hadn't realised that.
Yeah, you are old.
That is depressing.
So am I. So on tonight's show, like I said, we're going to look back at the game at Luton at Kenilworth Road on Tuesday evening. We'll hear Lee Bowyer's reaction to the game. We'll hear from Bowyer on the injury to Josh Cullen and updates on other players as well. Bowyer will talk about conceding too many goals at the moment, which we are as well. And then we're also going to hear from one of Tom's mates, Tom Lockyer, because he's Welsh, therefore you two are related, are you?
I think it works like that, probably.
Excellent. So we're going to hear from Tom Lockyer, his debut on the show later on. Before we start to turn our attention to the game with Sheffield Wednesday, we'll hear once more from Lee Bowyer when we look ahead to the game with the Owls. Right, Tom, we just heard the goals there. we was robbed. Let's get that out there, the offside goal and handball goal. But I mean, overall, you watched the game. What did you make of the performance? You know, we're going into it missing 12 bodies. It's always going to be a struggle, even if you do take the lead.
Yeah, I found it a very frustrating game to watch again. And I think coming away from that game and we'd lost again, I think my overall feeling was, I'm just annoyed we've lost another one. I said to you before the show, I'm just a bit fed up of losing, really, because last season we didn't really have to worry about that too much. But over the last couple of days and reflecting on it, actually, when you take into the account the amount of injuries we've got, performance was okay. There's a lot of youngsters being thrown in there and there's a lot being asked of people, even people like Gallagher, who's obviously taken to this league very well. You know, he's very young to be playing so many games. Then you look at the likes of Albie being dragged back from Ebbsfleet and suddenly thrown in. You've got people like Doherty coming on. There's an expectation there because of the way we started the season to be performing well, and it's not quite coming through. But as I say, when you reflect on that and you look at actually what we're having to work with, there's no shame in what the players are trying to do. You can't fault the effort, and Boya says that himself. It's just annoying because we looked at that game on Sunday and said, look, Luton are in a bad run of form and we should be going there thinking we can get a result, and obviously we didn't. And I think the one really disappointing thing for me at the moment, and again something we just mentioned, is our inability when we do get a goal to really stamp our mark on a game and stay ahead. At the moment, we just, as you just said then about Boya, we just seem to be conceding too many goals.
Yeah, it was a weird one, wasn't it, because we took the lead early on. Jonathan Lecco, Luton back into it after about 10 minutes later. Now, before we go into the nitty-gritty of the goal, after that, it did feel like Luton then got on top, and they certainly had a good spell at the start of the second half. I think we perhaps came back into it just before half time. Start of the second half, we had a great chance with Lecco, but they go down the other end, get their goal. We had a horrible 10, 15 minutes or so. Then we started to regain a bit of composure. We had, you know, a fair bit of the ball in the closing stages, three or four corners towards the end. Gallagher hitting the post. It's just one of those games where, you know, It never really felt like we were getting back into it to me. And I don't know if that is just the misery of the fact that we're on this bad run now, because, like I said, we did have chances, corners, you know, made the goalkeeper work a couple of times. It just felt a little bit flatter than perhaps we've been expecting. We all had our expectations raised by that start to the season. Now reality is starting to hit a little bit, and it can be a little bit, you're starting to worry about, you know, with these injuries and the run we're on, you don't want morale to drop, because that's in danger now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. And it's definitely been a shift in momentum. You can see that over the last few games. And we're having a 15, 20-minute spell, I think, in every game where we're just not quite ourselves. And I don't know if that's fatigue, I don't know if that's confidence or morale, but we're just not quite right. And we spoke a lot about it on Sunday, of it happening at the weekend against Cardiff. It happened again, as you say, at a slightly different period of the game on Tuesday, but it happened again. Could argue it happened against Millwall. Started to pick up at one point, but then dropped off at other points. Preston, I don't think we were largely at it for the whole game. So I think it's just been happening a little bit more of late. Thinking about it, the first home game of the season against Stoke, I remember doing comms with Greg, and obviously in the end we won that game fairly comfortably, but there were periods in that, and if you listen back to our celebrations of the goals from Anike and Gallagher, I think, we were absolutely buzzing, I think, because we maybe didn't even expect to win that game. So that suggests even in those games there were spells where the game was tight, and that was against a very poor Stoke side. So I think probably if we look back and we're kind of a bit removed from it from a fan's point of view, you'd probably argue that actually not too much has changed in terms of the performances when you factor into account the injuries, the players that we're having to play week in, week out. But it is just frustrating, as you said, because we set those expectations at the start of the season, and look, we're still, look at the table, look at our points, we're still far above where I could have even dreamt of us being. And you just have to try and keep remembering that, really. But again, as we said on Sunday, the longer that this run goes on, it's very much been a downward spiral, if you like. Maybe spiral's a bit too harsh a word, but downward trajectory since the start of the season. At no point have we then picked up a bit and then dropped off again. We just seem to have been going down, and my concern is that the longer we get to get a win and start to turn that around, the harder that becomes, particularly with the injuries and the games coming so regularly over the Christmas period. So that would be my only concern. But the good thing about the games coming so quickly is we have a chance to put that right every few days, and I'm sure once we get one of those wins, it'll start to to level out again. But I'm just so desperate for us to just get back on that winning run, really.
Yeah, you have to remember, still, we've only lost by more than one goal on one occasion. Mm. Going back to Wigan, it does show how tight these games are. Yeah. I mean, that could be typical of the Championship. I mean, just because obviously we're playing them, I've got Sheffield Wednesday's fixtures in front of me as well. And you have to go all the way back to September before you find a game, in one of their games that was more than one goal in it. They won 4-1 at Middlesbrough back towards the end of September. And then even then, most of their games are tight. I think there's only one or two other games where there's been more than one goal in it. The Championship is really tight this year. Look at the table as well. You know, I mean, we're 5 points above Reading, so we're 17th now. Reading are in 18th. We're 5 points above them. But then if you go from 17th up to 6th, there's only 7 points in it. Yeah. It's a very tight division. Right, before we go into the nitty-gritty of the goals that we conceded on Tuesday evening, I thought it would be interesting to hear right now from Lee Bay his reaction to the game. I asked Bo what he made of the performance during the defeat against Luton Town.
I think that the performance from start to finish, the players gave everything. I think we took the lead and probably on against a run of play. But we caused them problems first half. We created a few chances and the same second half. Do I think that we deserve to lose the game? No. But what it all boils down to is two decisions that cost us the game. The first one was offside. I've seen both goals. I've looked at them back and the first one's offside, blatantly offside. He's like a yard offside, yard away from Dylan when the fella's shot, and he ends up falling over Dylan. That's how close he is. Tell me he's not interfering. Has he not interfering? So the first one was offside and the second one was handball. So the ball, the lad was unlucky, to be fair. The ball just bounced up awkwardly. He must have hit a divot out there and it's bounced up awkwardly, and then he's tried to edge it in his path, but where it comes up, it's not possible. It's not possible to get it there unless you use your arm. I could see that from the side, but they get the decision, go their way, and then the fella goes through and to be fair, he took the goal well. But for me, two decisions that should have been disallowed goals. So that's what's cost us tonight.
Must be frustrating with all these injuries you've got and then those decisions going against you. Must feel like the whole world's against you at the moment.
It's ridiculous. I just feel like I'm having the same discussion after every game. Like, about decisions and other things, you know, like it's just not good. Like, so if we're playing in the Premier League tonight, then them goals are disallowed 100%. Both of them goals are disallowed. So why is that okay? Why is it allowed to happen in that division but not our division? Our division is just as, it's not as important as the Premiership, but we're still playing for something to try and get there. Not us personally, but I mean this division, the Championship. If they want to bring VAR in, then they should take it down as well, because us as football teams in this division want to get to the Premier League. And when you're getting decisions like that are, for me, blatantly obvious, they're blatantly obvious decisions, go against you, then it just makes it wrong. Because again, my players, like, it's so hard. That we have, like, you see the bench. You see that Albie Morgan was playing Ebbsfleet last week, and then now he's starting in a Championship game here. Is it fair on him? It's not really fair, but that's the situation we're in. And then when my players are giving me all that, and then we ain't coming away with nothing because of decisions, that's wrong. Like, for me, that's wrong. I can't criticise my players, they've given me everything again. Would I like them to do things differently at certain times? Of course. Do they make mistakes? Of course they do. But they're not doing anything wrong, like they're giving everything for this football club. And that's all I ask from them. But tonight, they've come away with nothing. We've come away with nothing because of two decisions, and that's what it boils down to me.
There you go. I mean, you can hear the frustration in Bo's voice. You're patching up a squad to go and put out whatever you can, you know, putting the kids out who've been playing at Ebbsfleet recently, as you said. You know, I thought he grew into it, but you know, he went out and you're getting done by tight games, decisions that could have gone your way. I mean, that first goal, so it comes out to Pelle Ruddock and Panza. So, I mean, the cross comes in. I think Nabs, I saw one or two people questioning Naby. I don't think Naby could have done much more there. No. The way he was facing, he just did what he could to block it coming into the 6-yard box. I'm not putting any blame on Nabs there. It comes out to him, Panza. He's caught it nice, to be fair to the lad, but, you know, James Collins, he might as well have been sat in Dylan's bloody lap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's clear that Collins was interfering with play or however Bowyer worded it. I think for me, and obviously I was watching it on Valley Pass, and as we just said when we were listening to the highlights at the start, Tell picks it up straight away. So I saw the goal go in, and from the angle they're filming the game, I hadn't seen anything. Terry mentioned it, so then I heard a whistle. So I thought, okay, they're looking at it. And while they were looking at it, they showed a couple of replays. Just in the background of one angle, I could see Chris Solly at the back post. And I thought, even the angle wasn't, you couldn't tell. But I thought, maybe he's talking about Chris Solly. But even that was tight. And then they go and give the goal. But irrespective, he's just bundled into Dylan Phillips. There's no way he's not involved in that goal. And I don't think there's any way that linesman would have been able to see Solly, because he would have been the other side of him. So it was it was one that I just can't really see how it wasn't given. Like I say, there's one angle that I can see where Solly is even in the picture, but even from that angle, it doesn't look like he's playing.
I mean, I've got a screenshot here, and like I say, it's not the ideal angle, but I mean, just looking at how close Solly is to the edge of the 6-yard box and how close Collins is. Yeah. Collins is offside. I mean, that has to be offside. So that's a huge frustration for Lee Bowyer. You can't understand how the linesman hasn't given that. And we hear Tom Lockyer says that the linesman said that Solly was playing him on, which is the wrong decision. And then of course, the second one, I can understand how he's missed it. I mean, for starters, I mean, Pratters has missed the ball in the midfield there, pass inside to him, and he knows he should do better there. You could see his reaction. He tried to chase back, and then it's gone through to Izzy Brown, and just the way it's flicked up, he stuck his hand out. Now, again, in the Premier League, that gets ruled out. Even if it's accidental, which it probably is, he doesn't even think about it. It just happens. Any time you use your hand and it ends up being an advantage for you, even if it's not on purpose, that is disallowed straight away. And that sort of stuff happening, that is quite frustrating. When like I say, it just feels like everything's going against him at the moment. Now, you have to put your hands up to say, I thought Luton played well. I thought Izzy Brown was very good, in fact. Really good. And I wouldn't be shocked to see, you know, I was speaking to Luton Town fan who I knew after and a commentator, and they said they deserve the win. And I said, I think I probably agree with you there. I think over the course of 90 minutes you do. But it's just when tight decisions like that are costing us at the moment, it is so frustrating. Even if we're grinding out rubbish 0-0, like 1-0s or 1-0s away from home, we could do with anything like that right now.
Yeah, I think I probably agree with you that they shaded the game. And I think if those two goals had gone in without any contention, you'd probably hold your hands up and we'd be frustrated, obviously, at the Charlton performance. Yeah. But we would say we were beaten by the better team. But as soon as you factor those contentious decisions in, it becomes even more annoying because you do feel like you've been robbed. And what I do like about Bowyer's interview, as I said to you just a second ago, it reminds me a lot of the Peterborough one when we lost that last-minute penalty and he went off on the big geezer rant. Because, first of all, he's asking himself questions, which I love. He gets more and more worked up. But what he also does is he's very quick to say, look, I'm putting players out there, and he's trying to protect his players. I think that time he uses the phrase, I've got 11 players out there putting their bodies on the line. This time he's like, I've patched up a squad to play. It's not fair on them. So he's not trying to use it as an excuse. He's using it as saying, look, I'm doing everything I can as a manager. You've got to look after my players because they deserve to be treated within the laws of the game. And what he's saying is that the laws haven't been executed fairly and we've lost. And there's a lot of sound argument in that. So he's not saying, oh, we was robbed and it's not fair and it's all their fault. He's saying, look, can we sort this out, please? Because this is not right. So I like the way that Bowyer's handled it. I think the players will hopefully react well to that as well. It's just frustrating, like I say, because it just feels like everything's against us at the moment. You look at that injury list, you look at the run we've been on. We've been up to Millwall, probably our best chance to beat them, lost to them again. Then we've had about 25 games on Sky, and we're always terrible on Sky, so you know how that's going to go. And it just feels like we just need something to go our way, just catch a break. I remember a couple of years ago, we were like, I can't remember if it was about a single player or about the team as a whole, and we were like, we just want a goal to go off someone's backside. And I think it did, and that sort of spurred us on. We just need some little bit of luck, just something to go our way. Because, as we've said, we're a good side. We've shown that at parts this season. I still don't think we're in any real danger of going down at this stage, but we've got a half-fit squad, and we've got 17, 18, 19 year olds being forced to play 2-3 games a week because of the injury crisis. And when you look at all that, it's a miracle we're even able to play games, let alone compete in them. Yeah. And as you say, we haven't lost a game by more than a goal. Or is it one?
Only one, yeah.
So we've shown we can perform, even at this stage. And every game, we're still competitive. We're still in every game. And I think, like you, I think it would have been a bit fortuitous if we'd snuck a draw on Tuesday, but it wouldn't have been far-fetched.
It don't feel like, I mean, let's try and have a comparison here. It don't feel like the relegation season four years ago. We're not getting tonked 4-0 every week. Like, we 3-0 home defeats, 4-0 away defeats. That's not happening yet. That's something to hold on. I want to bring up a real positive from Tuesday night. Jonathan Lecco. It was I think his best game for us. Obviously he scored early on, which probably helps with his confidence. He seemed to make more right decisions than wrong ones for a change. And that's what Bayer hopes to see from him. And I thought he played well. It was a great ball through to him from Macaulay Bond. The youngsters, like I say, Albie, towards the end of the game, he was spraying passes all over the place. Maybe that might be a part of why we're getting overrun a little bit after we conceded that we did have a young midfield, which didn't help. And there was a horrible spell, like I say, after the Luton second goal where Shinny hit the post, they forced a couple of corners. Alfie Doughty came on. He made a positive change towards the end. Josh Davison came on, trying to put himself about as well. So we need to take these positives. You know, don't forget, we're going to put a lot of these players through the ringer again on Saturday. And obviously Conor Gallagher's going to be out Saturday with his suspension as well, which we'll hear what Bayer has to say on that later on during the show. Now, of course, Josh Cullen, we knew before the game he wasn't going to be able to feature against Luton Town. I asked Bayer just for a little bit of an update on his injury after the game at Luton.
Yeah, Josh is going to be out for a while. A fair while. So... And, well, Ozzy, I don't know, he's just more bruising, like he couldn't really walk, something to do with his metatarsal or something. It's more bruising. I don't know how soon he will be back. Hopefully, I'm just guessing here, and I'm more praying than guessing that he'll be okay for Saturday. But again, I don't know. But Josh Cullen, long time.
You say a long time, you're talking similar to Lyle or longer, possibly? Or
longer.
Season?
No. Season? Bloody hell. No, he won't be back before Christmas.
Is his ankle ligament?
Yeah, ligaments. So, a few. Yeah, it's not good.
There we go. Well, at least he's not going to be out for the season.
Yeah, that's good.
I was asking Bert about it. He looks really down about it. So I was like, is he trying to hint he's going to be out for the season? So I asked him and he went, no.
That could be one of his mind games. Yeah, maybe he genuinely is.
Yeah, he's playing Saturday. But, I mean, that's a big loss. You mentioned Ozzy, touch and go Saturday. So hopefully he'll be involved Saturday. But like I say, touch and go, you don't want to risk him really. But... Yeah, Josh Cullen, we miss him. We saw that when he went off against Cardiff, and I think we saw that at times on Tuesday evening. He keeps us ticking, and until he's gone, you might not. Sometimes I don't think people even realise.
Exactly what I said on Sunday. I think probably if you get back into the dressing room after a game and look at a lot of the stats, he's number one or two in probably all of them. You know, distance covered, tackles made, interceptions made, key passes, all of that kind of stuff, amount of passes, but you don't necessarily see a lot of it. He's a very tidy player, but he's not spectacular. He's not like Gallagher, his blonde hair bouncing around, running forward, smashing balls in. But as you say, I think we noticed it when he went off against Cardiff because we struggled to adjust, and you certainly saw it again on Tuesday night. It's going to be a massive loss, I think. The comfort from Tuesday, as you mentioned, was the performance of Albie. And I think when he dropped back later in that game, he looked a lot better. The problem is that you've probably got to have Albie and Prattley in that defensive role because between them, they kind of do a lot of what Cullen does. I don't necessarily think to the same level, but they kind of similar style. But then obviously you're taking two players for one player, which is the difficult thing, and it means adjusting our shape. But we've got players in there that can compensate for bits of that game. For bits of the way Cullen plays. It just means that everybody else basically has to step up. And the issue with the everybody else part of that sentence is there isn't really anyone else at the moment. So we were just speaking then when he was talking about Cullen and saying, well, look, when we look to the Borough game, and Bowyer talks about it himself, so I won't go into too much detail, but maybe we're starting to get some players back. So we've just got to get through this game at the weekend. And hopefully then, if we can just get a few players back for Borough, that confidence boost that will give will be huge.
Yeah, I mean, both said sort of in the week, I think it was maybe even last week, that maybe Taylor, maybe Johnny Williams as well could be back for the Middlesbrough game. And like, so, I mean, I said that to you while we were listening to Bayer just then, and then you reminded me that's only a week away.
Yeah.
Which to me, Borough still feels like a mile away because it's in December, but obviously we're nearly there. I really need to start doing my Christmas shopping, actually, thinking about that as well. So, just praying that we can get through this weekend and get some bodies back because they need it. They need it. It must be a little bit demoralising when you've gone through and you know there's not a great deal to come off the bench. There's inexperienced players who, to be fair, like I say, came on and did well. But it's a mental thing. It feels like an uphill battle straight away. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. When we'll come back, we'll talk a little bit more about perhaps the Addicts' defensive worries at the moment.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's in! Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You're absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too.
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back. It's a big match preview live on your Thursday evening or via our podcast afterwards. Don't forget to make sure you hit that subscribe button in your podcast app and get our show downloaded automatically to your device twice a week. We'll be back here on Sunday after to look back at the Sheffield Wednesday games. So make sure you join us. And F. James tweeted in saying, okay, so we need to look at groups of games. Let's look at the full picture. We are playing non-fit, non-first teamers and just on scoreline, losing by small margins. January will be where it all begins. That's the telling stage of every season. Surely the injuries will end. I'm not panicking. I may be frequenting the loo more often, but it's not that time just yet. I see a light ever so dim at the end of this horrid tunnel, but it is still a light. Come on all, believe in what you know can be achieved. Pick yourselves up and head on to Saturday. We are down to the bones, but we always soldier on. Don't give up now. It's only November, for goodness sake. That's from Ev. Cheers, Ev. Now, obviously, we talk a lot about injuries and how that's holding us back at the moment and demoralising and whatnot. But what needs pointing out is we are conceding a lot of goals at the moment. We've gone, I think it's 7 games without a clean sheet, the Derby game. In 7 of our last 9 games, we've conceded twice. So we conceded 2 in each of those, in each of 7 of the last 9. Conceded 1 in the other one, I think. So we're not keeping clean sheets. Now, the good thing about Lee Bowyer is he's not a manager where you need to say, oh, why aren't you keeping clean sheets? He'll bring it up himself. He's very honest like that. And I think it's worth hearing, because I did then ask Bowyer, well, why do you think that is the case? What do you think is going wrong at the moment?
We're conceding too many goals at the moment, and that's what's disappointing me, because that's where we're strongest. All our injuries, we've only got one defender that's injured, but we're still managing to go around, apply everywhere we go and score goals. But at the moment, we're conceding too many.
What do you think the reason is for the amount that we're conceding at the moment?
Because we're playing against better quality players. In League One, you can get away with it. You can make a mistake. You can maybe let your runner run. You can maybe let your forward pull off the back of you. You can't do that in the Championship. You're playing against a lot better player and a lot of international players. These are good players. A lot of this. It's a mini Premier League. How many players that you see in this division that are going to play for their countries? We've got loads at our place. So that's what it is. They're playing against better quality better quality players in this division, and at this present time, it's tough. It was always going to be tough. I knew it was going to be tough all season. Everyone was getting carried away because we had a decent start. Don't get me wrong, if we had our full squad, I think it'd be completely different. But we ain't, and we just have to keep trying to find a way. Like tonight, we couldn't even put out a team. If we went toe-to-toe with them in the Diamond, we would beat them. We didn't even have the players to do that. We couldn't play that formation because we didn't have the personnel. So we can't even play a formation we want to play because of the way things are at the moment. So yeah, it's tough. We're trying to just fit something around to give us a chance, and we did. I thought the lads, they give everything.
There we go. Lee's obviously, I mean, you can hear the passion in his voice, can't you? You can hear his, like I said earlier, you can hear his frustration, but you can hear his determination to find a way to make it work. But obviously, like I say, he's talking about the clean sheets, lack thereof. And that shouldn't really be happening because as a team, I mean, like Bo says it himself, defensively, we've pretty much still got everyone. I think we're only missing, Pagey? And you'd expect a bit more from us there. I think Tom Lockyer, when we hear from him later in the show, has got a theory about how, as different formations, you know, perhaps work better for us defensively. But obviously, we need to be an attacking force going forward as well. And we just haven't found that balance. But also, we're making too many individual errors at the moment, which I don't know if that's down to a bit of tiredness or what. What do you think could be the problem at the moment?
I think it has to be individual errors. And that's the way Bowyer says it as well. He says he puts it down to the fact we're playing better quality opposition and you can't make the same mistakes that you could in League One, and therefore he's very much calling out that he does put it down to errors, letting players run or as we saw in the Millwall game, letting players get in front of you and get to the ball first. So from that perspective, I'm less concerned because it's not a clear failing of the tactics or the formation or anything like that. It's just individual errors, and maybe it is just coincidence they're all happening at one time. We spoke probably halfway through the season we're up to, or the position in the season we're up to, so what, 7 or 8 shows ago, about the fact that Dills had one of the best clean sheet records in the country for a little while. Obviously that's gone away over the past few weeks, but the same players are there. I don't know if the injuries in front of them have been an issue as well, because Cullen, up until obviously the Cardiff game, has still been around, so the defensive midfield has been largely the same. So it's a really strange one, but think about the goals as well. I don't think, it's not like people are banging them in from 30 yards. It's not like we're getting picked off by brilliant goals or anything. So I think they're hopefully things that can be trained out. But again, it might just be an issue that when they get to the training ground, there's just not that many players around to help do defensive work. So yeah, I'm not overly concerned by it. It's obviously something that we need to sort out because we're having to score at least 2 or 3 just to win a game. But I think you would hope they'd sort it out. And Pearce and Lockyer, experienced players, you know, they've both captained sides. They know what this game's about. So I'm sure between them, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, it is interesting, actually. You mentioned that we have to score at least 2 every game to go on and win. We have scored 1 at least in what, 7 of 8, last 8 or 8 yeah. of the last 9. So we are scoring goals, yeah. as Bo said. So it is just a case of if we can tighten up at the back. And individual errors are such a hard thing to iron yeah. out because, like I say, we're seeing, I don't, maybe we're not seeing more of them this year. Maybe it is a case of the other teams just punishing better this year than they were last year. But it's just something, I don't know, concentration, something, just silly little things. And like I say, I do wonder if there is just a little bit of a mental issue at the moment with, you know, so it feels like everything's against us, back to the wall, or all of a sudden, maybe a concentration, you're just tired from trying to make sure you do everything right in 90 minutes, all of a sudden there's going to be a slip here and there.
Yeah, but I think you look at the goals against Cardiff, we definitely could have defended those better. You look at the goals against Millwall, I've already said, we definitely could have defended those better. Prattley making a mistake for that second Luton goal. The difficulty is you can't come off that Luton game and say to Prattley, you know, when that ball was bouncing, it was a bit silly to let it bounce over your head. Or you can't say to Naby, you probably shouldn't have let Matt Smith outjump you, because these players, hopefully, know that. So it's a case of them, maybe it is just a concentration thing and them thinking, actively thinking every time, because those better quality players are going to get there and if you let them. So maybe it's that, I'm not sure. Maybe it is just that they're exhausted because they're all having to play so much at the moment. I'm not sure what it is, but as I say, it's not a fundamental flaw within the system that we're playing or anything like that. So I think that's that's probably a positive. It's just, as I said earlier, a case of the kind of leaders in that back four getting together and probably sorting them out and maybe just guiding them through games a little bit more carefully.
Yeah, so maybe it's a good time really to hear from one of those members of that back four who haven't kept a clean sheet for a while. Tom Lockyer came to speak to us after the game at Luton on Tuesday evening. He's played every single minute of every league game so far for the Addicts. Just him and Dylan are the only two to do that. Obviously qualified for the Euros with Wales as well, which Tom Wallin is delighted about, Welshie Wallin. But anyway, he came to speak to us after the game and admits he's a little bit worried about the fact that Charlton aren't keeping too many shutouts at the moment.
For whatever reason, we can't seem to buy a clean sheet at the minute and it's costing us. So, yes, it's very frustrating, especially being a defender. You know, because we're always going to create chances. We're an expansive team. We're always going to have opportunities in a game and it's keeping them out the other end, which is Achilles heel at the minute. Saying that, though, how the first goal is not offside is quite frightening, to be honest. We're in the Championship now, the referee, they're overprotected, aren't they? They should be out here answering, saying their decisions as well. Obviously the second goal as well, Dill said it's hit his arm, because I thought it was an unbelievable touch, but to be fair, I didn't even see the handball, so I can't blame the officials on that one. But the first offside, it's
inexplainable. Even though they tried, I believe.
Well, I don't know what he said. I went over to him. I said, "How is he not offside?" And he said, "Someone played him on." And I said, "Who?" And he said, "I don't know." So, that's the conversation I had. But it hurts, especially when you're out here trying to keep a clean sheet, trying to get points on the board, and you're getting done with things like that. The geezer's come over and said he was offside. The geezer said he hit his arm for the second one. It's frustrating, very frustrating. But I don't think we're at the races. First half, second half, I think we're a bit better. But you know, when you come away to places like these, everyone's got to be on it and make things happen and play their part for the team. And like I said, it's our Achilles heel, the two goals, and it's ultimately cost us.
It does seem that events are conspiring against us, obviously with the injuries that we've got and picking up and constantly picking up. You went down yourself today, and everybody sharp in take a breath when anybody goes down at the minute. Small mistakes are being punished, and then decisions like that going against us, it seems like we've got a battle against quite a few things at the moment.
Yeah, so I'm backs against the wall, but like the gaffer said in the change rooms then, it's a long old season. You know, we had under no illusions that we were going to be up there looking for promotion, even after the start we had. So, you know, if you go through a season without having a bad run, you've done very well and you're going to be up there. You know, we're on a bad run at the minute, everyone knows that. But I've always said, like, winning's a habit and so is losing. So try not to make losing a habit for too much longer. But a good thing about football is there's a game in 3-4 days, so there's a chance for us to go and put it right now. You know, back at the Valley in front of all the fans, early kickoff, that's the good thing about football. We can go and put it right there.
Is there a sense of reality in the change rooms? We've got plenty of experienced players in there, and a sense of knowing that you know, we are going to come out of this period because we've got good players, because we've got a good squad, and once this period, difficult period's out of the way, we can go on another run and can pick up the points, maybe.
Yeah, you don't want to make excuses because you build a squad for injuries, but I can't think of a time in my career where it's ever been this bad. You know, we're walking wounded at the minute. I think under any other circumstances, I'd probably come off there today. But I had to stay out there, do my bit for the team. And that's just like everyone. Everyone's working hard to try and get back fit and help the lads out. It's a case of patching yourselves up and getting back out there and doing as best you can for the team, because like I said, you build a squad for injuries, for suspensions, etc. And throughout the season, everyone's going to have to be used and play their part. So that's what we're going to have to do. Yeah.
From a personal point of view, you're going through the roller coaster of emotions and with the football. It's a great start to the season with Charlton, superb result for Wales, getting through to the Euros. But then through this bad patch in the league with Charlton. So you're certainly experiencing pretty much everything at the moment.
I know. I think I've seen and done it all in football now. There's not a lot that surprises me anymore. So Yeah, no, obviously it's nice when you win games. That's what I like doing. That's what gives me the feel-good factor. That's why we go to training every day, to improve, to get prepared to win games. No one likes losing, do they? You know, us fans included, everyone. The fans didn't come here, and by the way, they were fantastic tonight, even when we were losing. So, yeah, thank you to them. But, yeah, like I said, no one likes losing. And that's what we've built in the change rooms. Everyone is a winner. Everyone wants to win games. No one's happy when we're losing. We all get a bit grouchy. We're all at each other a little bit. But like I said, you're going to have bad runs in football, and this is one of them. So you just have to stick together and come out the other side.
There we go, Tom's mate, Tom Lockyer. Speaking after Tuesday's defeat, a few interesting things coming up there. I mean, first of all, I like the fact that he thinks that referees should come out and start facing questioning from us after the game. Do you think the referees should be forced to face the wrath of Luis Mendes after a game? And I mean, not Terry, surely, not, he'd headbutt them.
Can you imagine the state of it? I think there needs to be more accountability for refereeing decisions, but I don't think you can drag them out after games, because if they double down on what they've said and then they've proved that that's wrong, then where do they stand on that? It's a difficult one, but I think there needs to be more accountability, and whether that's the refereeing body coming out, perhaps, or something, I don't know, seeing access to parts of the match report that they write, something like that, because we need to know what has happened in that decision. Because if they come out and they say, I spoke to my linesman said he didn't raise his flag because he thought Solly was playing him onside, at least if we have that in writing, we know why they made the decision. Then if the decision's wrong, the decision's wrong, and then they need to be demoted accordingly because they haven't done their job properly. But at least then we know. Whereas if they're coming out and saying, well, like he said there, I don't know, then how does that help anyone? Because then we don't know what the decision was or why it was given. So, yeah, I think that would be fine. And again, if they say, I don't know, players surrounded me to mention a handball, but I didn't see a handball, so I couldn't give the goal. Okay, again, that's bad refereeing that he didn't see the handball. But, you know, as you mentioned, you didn't spot it. I didn't spot it. It's going to happen. They are human, but at least then you know, as opposed to saying, I saw it strike his arm, I didn't think it was, you know, done on purpose or getting the rules wrong. So I think there does need to be more accountability, but they can't come out after games, I don't think. It just opens too many cans of worms, I think.
Shame. Oh, well, I was looking forward to that. But yeah, Lockyer has settled into life in the Championship, okay. But he has talked about those clean sheets. I mean, you can hear his frustration as well. He wants a clean sheet. He needs one. It's a tough one, really, because, like I say, again, when it's individual errors, it's hard to train. I imagine it's quite hard to get that trained out of you, and I'm not really sure what you can do about it. But he also talks about the importance of sticking together. You know, he talks about how people are a little bit grumpy at the moment because of the results. He knows we're going through a bad run, a bad patch. But, you know, the importance of everyone trying to stick together, you know, like I say, we're not in territory where we're getting tonked 4-0 every week here. We're losing narrowly. You know, any slight gain you can have in a game, and if that is your team spirit, it could be the difference between 0 points and 1 point, or 1 point and 3 points, if you can just stick together and G each other on and just find that extra yard for each other.
That's the thing, and I think this group of players strike me as the sort of players that are going to come off and going to be annoyed, but are going to pull together to try and sort it out. We're not going to have a certain Iranian getting himself sent off on purpose, allegedly, or anything like that. You know, we're going to have players that are really going to fight, are going to try and go that extra mile, because you see the squad and the harmony that Boyer has built, or the half of them that are left able to run around. There's a really good culture within that group. So I think that these players are going to try and carry each other through and try and help each other out. And again, that gives me confidence, because it's not something you can necessarily measure or quantify, but you can see that on the pitch. And I think Lockyer himself has been fantastic since he came in. I know Nath was worried about how he was going to be perceived by people and that he might become an easy scapegoat for people. But I think, as you said, he's played every minute of every game, and that in itself is testament to the way he's performed. He's made some goal-saving tackles, some unbelievable stops in the earlier part of this season. And the whole team's going through a bad spell at the moment, so I don't think it's necessarily fair to pick up any individual. And they'll get through it together, and that's exactly how he comes across. And as I said before, it's up to the likes of him and Pearce and Prattley and the experienced members of the group to drag those youngsters through and do the best they can for at least a few more weeks until some of the other more experienced bodies start to come back, because we will get through this and we will start to pick up results again. I've got no doubt of that. It's just a case of getting that done sooner rather than later.
Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, it's time to start to focus to Saturday's early kickoff game. Don't forget, at home here against Sheffield Wednesday.
Charlton's turn now to put Blackburn under a bit of pressure with some set pieces.
It's Forster Kakowski goes across to take. Williams is short. Gallagher is potentially offering another option as well. Forster Kakowski to swing this in. Pierce with the flick. Taylor with the flick. It's gone in! Oh, Taylor makes it two! For the
Okay, welcome. It's nice to hear Nathan's voice, even when he's on holiday.
It was Luton, wasn't it, when he had the get in there last time?
Yeah, absolute wow. Yeah, Nathan just wooing there at the end of Greg's commentary of the opening day win at Blackburn Rovers. Right, Saturday, Sheffield Wednesday. I haven't had a chance to speak to anyone from up there because they were playing last night against Birmingham, so I couldn't really grab anyone. But they drew 1-1 with Birmingham last night. Did you see the beef between their manager, Gary Monk, and Pep Clotet, his former assistant at Birmingham?
No.
All right, in the pre-game press conference, Gary Monk just slagged him right off and then refused to shake his hand before the game. Brilliant.
Nice,
yeah.
That's what we like.
Yeah, that's
more
of
that.
Yeah, so petty. It's brilliant. But Sheffield Wednesday, Gary Monk obviously concentrating too much on worrying about the other team's manager and not enough on seeing his team win, because they are winless in five, similar to us. We're winless in six. Having had a decent start, decent-ish start to the season, very inconsistent when win-loss quite a bit. But they are now starting to find themselves sort of going down the table a little bit. They've got problems hanging over the club, financial irregularities being checked not long after Katrine left. That was strange, isn't it? I don't know if she was involved, but I am going to link her to it as many times as I can. Just seems to be having a slight wobble up there at Sheffield Wednesday. For a massive club, they're not doing quite as well as perhaps their fans might have expected.
Get down to Charlton. That seems to work for every other club at the moment. Yeah. You're right. I think we've been there plenty of times. You've seen the stadium, you know the history, but it doesn't matter when they put the players on the pitch, does it? And you're right, their record over the last five games hasn't been great. They've scored in pretty much all of them. I think they had a 0-0 against Leeds, but they've scored in all their other games as well. So we know what sort of game it's going to be. There's probably going to be goals at both ends. They've got Morgan Fox at left back, so I'm sure Lecco will hopefully have some fun with him coming back down to the Valley. So, yeah, another team, and we seem to have said this for the last few weeks now, it's another team that kind of in that middle part of the table like us. As you said earlier, we've got that kind of cushion behind us and 18th, but then above us it's all so tight that I think if we win, couldn't we go like 8th or something? So it's there are all of those teams in there. I can't really compare them. I don't know in terms of quality who's better than anybody else, because the points speak for themselves. We all seem to be very, very evenly matched, and I again can't see there being more than one goal in this game. I just obviously hope that this time it's us. And as I say, from the sound of things, it's the last game where we've just got to try and nurse our way through it, because hopefully by Borough, and I think we've got Huddersfield Tuesday after that as well, we'll have the likes of Taylor and Williams, and obviously Gallagher definitely back because of his ban. But those players either starting or at least on the fringes of the squad and able to start playing a big part in the games coming up.
Yeah, Stephen Fletcher, the leading scorer with six. They're not running away with it by any stretch of the imagination. They've got Fernando Forestieri, who's often being a thorn in our side, but he doesn't seem to have started too many games so far this season. But they have got some decent players, the likes of Adam Reach. You know, Jordan Rhodes, again, hasn't started, but that's not a bad option to have off the bench if he can be called upon. So, you know, it's every week, Barry Bannon as well, another player I hate playing against because he always seems to do well against us. It's another team where, you know, every week now you're saying Championship football, doesn't matter how badly a team is, they're going to have some quality within their side. And we need to be wary of that, because we've seen it over the course of the last few weeks. You know, a Luton team not playing very well, all it needs is Izzy Brown to actually have a bit of a stormer, and all of a sudden he can score a goal and it can make it very difficult for you.
Yeah, that's completely right. Every team at this level has very good players. And you look at our squad, we've got a decent side, but there's only one or two that you would say stand out on paper before the start of this season. I think maybe a bit harsh if you were to compare them now, because I think there's some players that have really stood out and performed well. But in terms of Championship quality, that there's a reason that we were predicted to be down in the bottom three. So,
Yeah, it's tough, but that's, you know, that's why we got promoted. I'd much rather be playing teams like that than playing the likes of, I don't know, Accrington away, because it's a challenge, and that's what we're in it for. And if we were to finish where we are in the table now, I'd absolutely take it. So it's another game. I unfortunately can't make it, but I was looking forward to seeing it again, because it's another, as I say, historically another big club to come down here and play. We were talking earlier about the fact that it doesn't feel like the relegation season. The atmosphere down here has continued to be very, very good. Numbers are obviously up. It's still an enjoyable place to come and watch football at the moment. I really enjoyed the Cardiff game last weekend, despite the frustration of the results. So, yeah, in terms of the actual game, it's really difficult to say, as I say, because so many teams are just grouped around, what, 3 or 4 points difference. I think when we play Cardiff, they're only a point behind us as well. So it's going to be another tough one. But, yeah, who knows? It only takes a Lecco or a Bond to be on form. And as I say, if we can get that early goal, the difference will be, can we get that second like we did against Cardiff? But then can we cement ourselves and really solidify and hold on to that lead? Because at the moment, we haven't had a problem scoring goals. It's just keeping them in at the other end that's been the issue.
Now, of course, as we mentioned earlier on in the show, there is going to be yet another body missing from the squad. Chelsea loanee Conor Gallagher picked up his fifth booking of the season against Luton Town. Means he's suspended for Saturday, and Lee Bowyer admits that he is going to be a big miss.
Yeah, Conor and Abbott is going to be another big miss. Another goal-scoring threat that's been great for us this season. So, yeah, he's picked up his fifth booking. To be fair, I think he's done well to get this far. So the way he runs around, his enthusiasm and tries to win the ball back the way he does, I think he's done well to last up to the end of November with only five bookings. So, he's going to get a little break now. I think he needs it. Tuesday, he looked a bit tired. He's been away every international break playing for the national side. So, he's going to have a couple of days rest now and come back in on Monday and be ready to go for the Middlesbrough game.
Do you have any players returning from injury that you can call on for Saturday?
No. Osterman's 50-50. So, it's whether he can... His foot recovers in time. It was a bad tackle that he took. So it's just whether that settles down in time. Tuesday couldn't even walk, so it's 50-50 at the moment. But if anyone comes back, it will be him, and only him. So we've got a few that's getting back out on the training pitch now and starting to do some runs and stuff. So... We're hopeful for Middlesbrough, but regarding Saturday night.
And what's the latest on Lyle Taylor?
He's outside. He was outside yesterday doing some running and stuff. So, again, he's one that we're looking to get back in training with us next Thursday. So he's between now and then trying to get some fitness in between. He's quite fit anyway because he's been running for a while now. So... it's just making sure that we do the right way between now and then and train with us Thursday, Friday, that's the plan next week. And hopefully he'll play a part at Middlesbrough.
You complimented the supporters earlier. How big a part can they play in helping you through these difficult times?
I always say they always play a massive part in my eyes, and they have done. From the minute I took over, they've played a massive part, and I've asked them to come and be part of this, and they've jumped on board. Again, the other night they didn't stop singing. They could tell that they were singing at the right times. They could tell when we was tiring a bit and needed a bit of help from them. And Saturday's going to be the same. We're going to need them, you know, to get through this difficult period. But we all have to stick together, and I know that on Saturday they're going to play a massive part like they did last weekend at home when we played Cardiff. They knew it was going to be tough for us. A good Cardiff side, but they played a part in us getting a valuable point, because every point's tough in this division. No one's got any given right to take 3 points, and we're going to keep trying to do that, and we will get there. I have no doubt.
Lee Bowyer, you know, trying to make sure he keeps up morale. But I mean, obviously, we start that segment there from Bo talking about no Conor Gallagher, and then we're discussing while we're listening to it, like, what on earth is going to be in the midfield? Because Osterman touch and go, And if he can't play, I mean, if he can, then he has to, like, you'd hope he slots straight back in there. You hope he's fit enough to start. But if he can't, I mean, what is that midfield going to look like? There's going to be a lot of chopping and changing.
Yeah, I just said to you then, I've got Chris Solly playing right wing. Yeah, I think you've got to play Morgan, Prattley, and probably Deji as a midfield three if Ostuma can't play. And then Lecco and Bon have got to play another game as well. And then a back five, probably, with Solly or Matthews one side and Perrant in the other. The only other thing, as I just mentioned to you there, would be to play a 4-4-2, but actually traditional 4-4-2 as opposed to Diamond. And then you've got Darity out on one wing, and like I say, it's got to be Solly or Matthews, one of them playing right back and one of them playing wide right. And then you could play just an Albie and a Prattley in midfield. But again, I can't see that happening because I know Solly can get forward, but it's him, him not the most attacking. So then you're relying on Darity down the left. And do you really want to have to throw him in? He's only had two performances off the bench so far this season. So it really is. I know we've been bare bones for a while, but this is proper. This is about as thin as the squad is possible for the squad to get, I think.
I mean, hopefully Deji, I guess,
it'll have to be.
We'll have a chance to be involved. And I like what I saw from him at times. But I mean, I assume he's going to have to go for the five at the back purely just because, you know, three centre-halves and the two wing-backs, purely because that's the numbers we've got. You know, he said he really wanted to play that Diamond on Tuesday, but he didn't feel like he had the personnel for it. And now we've lost another one of those bodies. So I really think that's the only way he could possibly go.
I think he might reflect on that, because when he put Albie at the base of that Diamond or whatever formation he was playing, when Albie played at the base, he actually looked okay. So maybe in hindsight, he could have done that and had Prattley alongside Gallagher. But as you say, it wouldn't work now because Gallagher's not playing. So yeah, I can only see him being able to play that 5-3-2, which, you know, it's not a bad formation and we've seen it work in the past. But when you are playing that, you want someone like Jake on the left, really, because Perrington isn't that sort of player that bombs forward. And then it's just about that midfield really working hard to break forward. And you look at Prattley, he can do it, but it doesn't come naturally. Deji, very much a defensive-minded player in that position. And Albie, we've seen his best performances have been where he's just sat at the base and spraying balls around. We haven't really got anyone who's going to pick the ball up and drive. Now, obviously, if Ostuma's fit, then he'll be the one to do that. If not, you're relying on someone like Lecco coming really deep to pick up the ball. Or you're looking at getting it into Bond's feet on the halfway line, and Bond's hold-up play is pretty good. And then you're making sure that your wingers like Perrington or Solly or whoever plays on the right are really getting forward to offer some width, which, again, doesn't necessarily come naturally to those players either. So either way, we're trying to fit square pegs in round holes. Like I say, hopefully it's the last game that we're going to have to do that. But once again, you look at the likes of someone like Johnny Williams or this case of Conor Gallagher, those players that have that spark and that creativity and just how much we need someone like that back.
You mentioned Alfie. Okay, he's come off the bench a couple of times, you know, was on loan at Bromley. Yeah. You know, doing quite well at Bromley from what I saw, and came back, came off the bench last week and did well against Cardiff again. Against Luton, I thought he gave us a little bit something different actually, and you know, the change of shape as well helped. It would be a huge ask to throw him in, but if Bowyer's seen those two performances off the bench, will he maybe take him to one side and say, look, this is going to be a tough ask, okay? You know, don't get your head down, don't let yourself get down if it doesn't work out, but we need you and I trust you. You know, give him that confidence. Say, look, I believe you can do it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You're very young, but this could be a game for him. Maybe just might be an option.
I'd prefer it if he didn't. I'd prefer him to protect him, maybe bring him off the bench again. But like you, if Bowyer's just basing it on the performances the last two games, he should have no fear throwing him in, because I'm not going to say he's been exceptional. I think that'd be slightly over the top, but he's been very, very good for the age he is and for the experience he's got to come on. That Cardiff game, he was, how many times did he break forward with the ball, show his pace, was willing to try and retrieve the ball, wasn't hiding, wasn't staying close to Cardiff players, was putting himself out there, getting himself in what could have been vulnerable positions, and really played well. And then again on against Luton, it was a tighter game and there were much more pressure around him, but even then he picked up the ball a few times and got some nice little passing moves going. So yeah, in terms of his quality and the way he's performed, I don't think Boya should have any fear in throwing him in. I'd be wary, and it goes back to the old Carlin Grant syndrome of blooding him too much too young. I know we've got injuries and I know we're struggling, and I'm sure Alfie will be lapping up the opportunity to play first team championship football at his age, but we've just got to protect him because, like you said, he can man-manage him and he can say that stuff, but I think you've just got to be careful with him.
All right, let's have a very quick prediction for Saturday, 12:30 kickoff.
Desmond 2-2 this time.
Yeah, I definitely not Desmond 3-0.
Okay, no, well, just a 2-2.
I'm hoping it will be Desmond 3-0 to us, but let's see. Right, we've come to the end of this evening's big match preview. Thank you for tuning in to our Cheltenham Live podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Tom, good to have you here.
Cheers, Louis.
I look forward to seeing you again shortly.
Yep.
I've been Louis Meadows. Thank you. Like I say, thank you for listening. We'll be back here on Sunday evening then to look back at whatever happens against Sheffield Wednesday, hoping and praying that'll be 3 points for Charlton and we can get ourselves back into some sort of form. Right, thanks for listening. We shall see you on Sunday.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.